Okay, so here we are. Here we all are, having had a wonderful night's sleep in Quinta. Old Quinta, been here 7 times now. I don't think I've had a decent night's sleep yet. But there you go. You pay your money, you don't take your choice. But that's fine. Most of it is my own fault, not the bed. So it's great. Yeah, we have a lot of affection for Quinta. As I said last night, this room is where it all started 6 years ago. So we've come full circle. And hopefully onwards and upwards from here onwards. Okay, there's a few points. First, just a sort of introduction to sort of the program. So after I've just said a little bit, very small bit, you'll probably recognise there are 2 auditions from, well, in fact there are 4 auditions. There's two Welsh people took 5 hours to get here from the South Wales. They arrived at 11 o'clock last night. And then more sensibly, 2 ladies who came from London, and probably took them quicker to get here from London. So we're going to allow Rosie and Ginny to give a report about what happened yesterday at the Day of Prayer in London that was mentioned last night. And then David will give his talk. Now, after David's talk, we do what we normally do at foundations. I have no idea how long he's going to talk for. It's up to you.
Oh, stop when I see the sun
going. Typical old-style preacher there. He'll talk until he drops. But I suppose the obvious thing, well, you talk until the refreshment break. So after David's talk, we've got the morning refreshment break. After the refreshments, we normally have what we call freedom in the spirit, which a lot of you have already encountered, which is nothing out of the ordinary. It's just basically you've got the time to yourself. It may well be that David has churned things up that can only be satisfied by talking more to David. So David will be available after the refreshment break here just to talk through some of the points that he's brought up in his talk this morning for those who are interested. We've got a timeline at the back. We always have a timeline, and it's been started last night, but do encourage any of you, particularly those of you who can actually draw pictures that are not matchstick men, but even matchstick men are good. anything that God puts into your mind on the timeline, it'll be great to have a record. So it's something that we can look back a future time and actually remember what happened this weekend. So this is at any time, just sit there, even during David's talk, even if you get a picture or a scripture during his talk, then just go there and draw. The other thing you can do is that we have a craft table at the back. Again, you can use that at any time. If you're the sort of person that likes doodling, pretends to listen to the talk, but it's actually doodling and concentrating more on that, then we have a doodling table at the back where it's a crafts table, which, again, you can use at any time, and it's very therapeutic. If you sit there as someone you've never met before, then conversations can flow as you're doing a sort of a joint activity together. So we have that. We have our quiet room, the library, which is behind the reception desk. You'll see there's a note there that says quiet room. If God has spoken to you in such a way that you want to, let's say, unburden yourself in a private sort of one-to-one with God, then we have the fishbowl confessional. So many of you have used it, some of you more than once. The point of the fishbowl confessional is that there's paper that you can write anything on just to unburden yourself. You put the paper in the fishbowl and it dissolves and it's gone. It's just a visual aid to sort of help concentrate your where you are with the Lord. So that room is open all through the day. You can go there anytime you like. Other things that we do, we're not doing everything that we normally do because obviously we have a special focus this weekend, but there will be, I think, prayer walks, certainly in the afternoon. I'll talk more about that in a minute, but possibly if you feel called to it, perhaps between yourselves, if you want to go on a prayer walk, it's a beautiful place here to do a prayer walk. I think a year ago we had some great prayer walks with Ginny and Rosie in their angel outfits, and then Chris Hill walking down to the lake and the still waters, and that was really good. So basically after the break, it's just free time until lunch. Just do what you like. You may want to do some worshiping in here, play some music, you know, whatever. I just want to say something else. I forgot. Communion. We normally have sort of the elements for communion in the quiet room, but instead we're going to have a common communion, like everyone together at the supper time tonight. So we'll take communion together after supper. So that will be everyone together. So the program. I think following on from last night, certainly my fears and David's fears that this weekend, particularly this afternoon, could just end up with talk, and all talking, no listening. Got a sort of a different way to do what I've written down for this afternoon. So this afternoon we have four discussions, but each an hour long with a refreshment break in the middle. The first one will be Foundations itself, in the way that it's operating now, what is the future for, you know, does the past continue into the future in terms of what we do in Foundations? The second discussion will be Foundations in terms of the wider church. How do we push this vision out to the mainstream church? And then the third one is those people that might feel called to be teachers, worship leaders, just, you know, people. I call it front of house. It's like, you know, the talent in theatrical terms. And then the last one will be behind the scenes. We just need so much help behind the scenes, particularly those of you who know what a computer is and can add things into computers. That would be helpful as well. So the idea is that we'd have four discussions, but there is something new we want to add. We don't want everyone to take part in this, because we want three things to happen at the same time. If you have a particular calling to come to one or more of these discussions, in other words, if you feel that you can contribute and take part in the discussion, then come to it. But those of you may feel called to prayer, and we want to organise a prayer walk, four separate prayer walks, while the discussions are going on, so that a group of people could be praying for those who are discussing, so that, you know, God can sort of, you know, they can be covered by, you know, through their discussions. But also, those on the prayer walk should be able to listen to God. What is God saying on this particular topic to us as we're on our prayer walk? So in other words, we want to give God a chance to sort of speak to us through the prayer walk while we are, say, speaking to each other during the discussions. The third group is basically anyone else that just feels like they want time for themselves, pray by themselves, read the Bible, anything that we normally do in Freedom of the Spirit, feel free to do that either. So there's no compulsion to either be part of the talking bit here or the prayer walk. So there's plenty of options there. So we just don't want everyone just to be in the talking bit. If you are not in the discussions, but you want to know what's happened, it's all going to be taped, and I'll make sure that fairly soon after the retreat, everyone will get a copy of everything that's said during the retreat. So don't worry about missing anything, but it's important that if you have a calling for prayer, then that's what we need you to do this afternoon, especially. So that's how the afternoon is going to work. And then in the evening, we get together after supper and we say, has God spoken? And if so, people can start to give testimonies and ideas, and then we'll see if there's any agreement, and we'll just see what happens from that point onwards. So that's the plan. Hopefully the Lord will agree to this plan. I don't know. It's the best I can do for now. If anyone's got any developments or suggestions, then do add to my plan. And the last thing I want to mention is this weird thing in the corner. This is not actually relevant to what we're doing here. On the back table is what Monica and I have created for when I go to the Christian retailers retreat. So when I'm out there with the rest of the Christian world trying to show off my latest book, this is the way we're hoping to do it. Because the point of this retailer's retreat, a lot of retailers go there simply to get freebies. So they take books, and you give away free books, and they end up with a pile like that. They don't read them. They stick them in their bookshelves and hope to make a few pennies. And that's how the Christian world works. But we're trying to say to them, you can't take my book unless you've completed a questionnaire. And there's a postbox there. So there's a questionnaire with five very provocative statements, like, has God finished with Israel? That's one of them. Is Islam a curse on the church? So nice provocative statements for the mainstream church to consider. Has God finished with denominations? You know, that's good. And what I do is I do a running total all through the conference to see, you know, where it's swinging. So that'll be quite an interesting thing. But it's like they have to work in order to get a book. And also lots of phrases from the book are presented there on little cards coming out of the undergrowth. So they get a flavour of what the book's all about. So that's, if this doesn't work, I've had it. I'm never going back. This is my last go at it. And I will remind you, and I appreciate prayer cover, particularly on next Wednesday. Wednesday is like the main, I think it's Wednesday. Wednesday and Thursday morning. So there'll be people like Adrian Plass there. You know, all the big shots will be there. So just pray that I'm civil to them. Right. Okay, that's basically all I want to say. So I'll pass on to Ginny and Rosie. Oh, hold on.
Did you mention about the bookshop
being open? Oh, yeah. The bookshop is open. Yeah, the gift shop. I think you can get chocolates and stuff in there and all sorts. Yeah, right by reception. They're opening it at 10:30 to 11. Yeah, so if there's anything, I think things like toothpaste and all that as well. So, yeah. So there's a little shop there near reception if you want to use it at 10:30. That's it.
Okay. And also, anybody requires lifts to the station
on Sunday. Yeah. I put a piece of paper on the reception desk if anybody
puts their name down
and
train time, anyone can.
Yeah. Actually, we need a lift today, don't we? Where's Linda? You still need, what time do you need a lift? Oh, Nita's going to take you. Well, let's hope you get there. excuse me. She got lost finding my house yesterday.
There's nothing wrong with my car.
Right. I'm not talking about the car. All right. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Well, good morning, family, disfamily. It was great to be met by Barry and the reception committee. We didn't expect that, did we?
No.
After trying to keep awake for 4 hours driving, but it was great. So, I've had my pricey brain on, and this is just a potted version of what happened yesterday. So it was 10 hours of intercession and some teaching, but mainly prayer and intercession. So we started with 2 Chronicles 7:14, which you all know. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. Amen. In fact, in my Jewish Bible, it says, when my people who are called by my name. So these are just potted statements. We started off with, Lord, we have left our denominations behind. That was a great start. Scriptures, Psalm 119. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. So we began from that place. And we will not let the devil take our nation. This was David Hathaway's opening statements. But we don't start from the top, we start from the bottom where we are. And then we spoke about representatives that were kind of present within this meeting. And it was a very free meeting where people were coming as the Holy Spirit led them to bring what the Lord was saying, which seemed to be a key thing. And then David Hathaway spoke at some length about the history of Ukraine and how he's been allowed by the Lord to impact that situation, and how from a situation of difficulty he was able to call leaders in that nation so much so that over a period of time, they've now announced the year 2018 to be a year of the Bible in the Ukraine. And they know that the power of prayer can change a nation. And this nation has chosen God. And the government must now honour that decision in the whole of Ukraine. And the prayer has changed this nation. So the key to the day of prayer is that prayer actually changes nations. Amen. So then we came into the day of the 8th of September, which many of you will know anyway, was King George's the sixth call 77 years ago to a day of prayer. Now, when this day was booked, they had no idea that it was that significant day. Isn't that amazing? They tried for another day. But John Young was telling me, who runs the, he was the pastor of the Emmanuel Centre, that that was the only day that was free in the diary. Isn't God amazing, the way he threads it all together? And of course, that was the time when the declaration we declared about this Great Britain, united under God and Queen. Don't let any power on earth break that union. We declare over our nation shall not be divided, but be reunited. So, yeah, and today, in fact, today in Belfast, do you want to say something about? There's a lot of people gathering.
I have a little leaflet here. It's time. It's a gathering of a few people. There's going to be 90,000 there today. 90,000.
Belfast, 90,000.
Barry.
Yay! Okay. Irish. And David Hathaway was going straight from London, straight there. And he's going to say some quite controversial things, and he was saying, pray for me. He said, because they might not let me out. because he was going to talk about unity, really. It was about unity, about because they're worried about the borders with Brexit and everything. But he said the only way is for repentance and for God and through prayer. And he was saying that it's not what the politicians will do. It's not how they'll solve the problem. It's how God will intervene. And so he was saying about it being a prayer for unity, and not just unity in Northern Ireland, but in the South as well. He was saying that he is going to proclaim and that God wants unity. He wants Southern Ireland out of Brexit.
Out of
which
the
is
EU.
Out of the EU. He wants them to have a Brexit. Out of the EU.
Amen.
And to have, so that we are all one. So that is, he said they might not let him out of the country. So it'd be interesting to know what happens there. But he didn't know what reaction he'd get, but we think he'll get a good reaction because he was saying some amazing things yesterday. He really was. So shall I talk about our trip to Belfast or you carry on?
Yeah, I'll carry on. We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that.
So anyway, declarations. This was a really powerful theme throughout the whole thing. Nothing can stop God. God, you have never been defeated. And this was our sense of real encouragement. I think somebody said there was under 1,400 people gathered yesterday. The whole of the Emmanuel Centre was packed. There was not a spare seat anywhere. And the overflow was full. Mm. And the same spirit was in the overflow as within the room. So there was a sense of, we need to know that we can't be, our God is never defeated. And then there was thoughts about this nation is being controlled by small minorities that are driving things through. And so we prayed into these quite significantly as the day wore on in 2-hour slots. And David Hathaway was waxing lyrical about some songs I wasn't keen on, but nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, that one, until I was Jerusalem, that one. Good tune, anyway. But the theme was good. You know, what is sleeping? What do we have in our hands? And then the next section was to do with Clifford Hill, many of you will know him, speaking about a nation under judgment, which is the guiltiest part of, the guiltiest part is the church. And the call to repentance is that if the church doesn't repent, then it will be destroyed and Islam will take over. And the numbers now that in Paris, particularly, I don't know why it was just Paris, was quoted, that 56% of children now being born in Paris are Islamic. That's scary, isn't it? And the church has an enormous responsibility. And it's these leaders who will not stand on the word of God. So there was then reflection by Clifton Hill, quite controversially, because he was coming against some of the thoughts, really, and he was querying the way we actually pray in the church. He was encouraging us to only pray the things that God is putting on our hearts, not just what we think we should pray. But then he spoke about the faithful remnant with lots and lots of scriptures, and he spoke about, he referred to the 1940s when the prayer for call came, because you'll know that there'd been Dunkirk and there's 330,000 were rescued off the beaches. But then they were in the middle of the Battle of Britain, and then the next day the call for prayer came. I mean, it was that mighty prayer that really seemed to impact us all, that prayer is the one thing that will literally change our nation. So the main theme over the whole day yesterday was, there will be no revival until there is repentance. I can pray it into that, really. And then Clifford Hill continued on with Jeremiah 7, when we know the whole story of Jeremiah, when God said, tell the people not to resist, go into exile. And that was the whole point. And three times he was told not to pray. And so he went into some detail over that, but you'll know all the story and the histories behind that. But he was talking then about the good figs and the bad figs in Jeremiah 24, that the good figs were those who actually went into exile. So he was inferring that those who went into exile are God's people, and that as a remnant prayer group, if you like, a remnant movement, we have to be those who are able to be separate and almost in captivity and still pray to function. Yeah. Then there was a lovely gentleman. We can't get his name. We missed
out. No.
Text everybody. Who was the name
what
of this
was
man?
His name, but nobody.
Tall, portly, stately man, a bit like Lance Lambert, but I'll find out who it was. Yeah. He spoke very sensibly about the times. And he quoted an article from the Times by Lord Finkelstein that said, quote, should we care that religion is being lost when the nation for centre of social research found out in Britain that 53% now say they are non-religious, and 50% of that 53% claiming to be Anglicans, which is also interesting. So faith is no longer the mainstream, for sure. And then there was this wonderful thought that the whole of the declarations of yesterday were going to be sent to the Queen. And there was a secret representative there, but nobody would talk about it. We couldn't find out who it was. But somebody will has the ear to the Queen, which is amazing. And then this gentleman, whose name I don't know, I do apologise, felt to share this bit. So when the Queen was visiting the YMCA in 1994, she said, I hope I've got this quote right, I do not want to upset you, but I feel strongly about this, and I may. And then she said, quote, yes, she'd written the speech herself. Men, there have been men who have made a difference, like John and Charles Wesley, William Booth, George Williams, and these are the type of preachers we need today, or the wrath of God will come. Our Queen said that. We want a God who's wrapped in love and mercy. God save the Queen. Amen. So the nation needs to repent, and we're sleepwalking, not prayer walking. So God's wrath is about to fall, and the sanctified will be rescued, it says in Psalm 91. And in 2 Corinthians it talks about, you know, coming out from among her and touching no unclean thing. In between all these, there were bouts of incredible times of repentance. You know, the sound of people repenting is the sweetest sound in the world. It's even more gracious than worship, almost. You know what I mean? There was a sense of godly repentance and weeping for our nation. It grew as the day went. It was a bit stale to begin with.
Yeah,
it was like, come on, people. But
yeah,
we got there.
Yeah.
And then there was a thought about the EU built on secular satanic tower of materialism. So there was quite a lot of prayer concerning that. And I'd just like to very, very quickly pray ungodly laws passed in Britain, just for your information. I do have a copy for a leader who'd like one, but I'll just whiz very quickly through, because these seem to me to be very, very pertinent. 1951, the Fraudulent Mediums Act abolished the Witchcraft Act, which legalised witchcraft in Britain. 1959, the Obscene Publications Act, very weak act, which was difficult to prosecute pornographers. 1967, the Abortion Act. we had abolished the death penalty for murder, but in 67 we said it was acceptable to murder unborn babies. 67, the Sexual Offences Act legalised homosexual practices, which are said to be detestable to God. 1994, the Criminal Justice and Public Order Act reduced to 18 the homosexual age of consent. The Theatres Act, 68, in censorship in the theatre, more or less abolished. 69, the Divorce Reform Act. It opened the way for easy divorce. The floodgates were opened by this act for widespread marriage breakdown. 72, the European Communities Act and the EC Amendments Act. Control over borders and laws was surrendered to unelected non-nationals in Europe. 89, the Children's Act, this one I feel strongly about. Responsibility for children passed from parents to the state. Grandparents were no longer recognised in the family but reduced to significant others, thus weakening the family structure. 1990, the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Act legalised the creation of embryos. 1993, the Sunday Trading Act allowed widespread trading on Sundays. 94, the National Lottery Act. The thing about this one, which seems erroneous, is that 28% of those being the recipients are opposed to biblical values involved with this. There's loads of others. I'm just picking out the ones that seemed pertinent. 97, the Amsterdam Treaty further eroded national sovereignty, bringing Britain increasingly under the rule of humanist, anti-Christian code of law. 2004, the Civil Partnership Act granted civil partnership in the United Kingdom rights and responsibilities very similar to that of civil marriage. 2004, the Gender Recognition Act granted transsexual people legal recognition as members of the sex opposite to their birth gender and allowed them to marry and have new birth certificates, etc. And finally, 2013, the Marriage of the Same-Sex Couples Act redefined traditional marriage, which had always been between a man and a woman, and allowed two persons of the same gender to enter into a legally registered marriage, which is like shocking, because it's like all things, it happens slowly. And so we began to pray, not through all these, but just as the Holy Spirit led, as people were praying from the front. There was Dennis Greenidge, who some of you will know, great man of God, Brenda Taylor, Roy Taylor, and some others that you will remember, I may not. So, but the thing was that in the House of Lords, there were apparently all but two bishops who voted for gay marriage. It was like, no. But we have a weapon. We have a weapon. You know, we have a covenant commitment. And based on, we looked at a lot of Matthew and Matthew 18, 19. But there was a thread that we can choose to pray for repentance that leads to revival. And we can do that as many times a day as we feel. So I feel to covenant for that. Mm. Particularly that our nation will come to repentance, primarily. And that the divine authority, you know, where it says whatever you bind on earth will already have been bound in heaven, that we can take our authority. So a couple of other quotes. Psalm 102. I love this bit. David speaking. I am as a sparrow alone on a rooftop. And we know we feel a bit like sparrows on rooftops, don't we, sometimes in our little fellowships and things speaking out. But we have a chance to make a difference. And so this was the big cry. We can make a difference. So we know that not a sparrow falls to the ground without the father attending to the funeral. And that's rather a sweet thing. And then there was a long section about what happened to the Jews in Babylon. But this was Clifford Hill's thing, because I think he's written a book called Living in Babylon. But God had good purpose for his people in exile. So it seems that almost if he didn't say this, but I think the feeling was that we almost feel as if we're in exile against the national trend of decay in our nation. And yet God has got purpose to build us up that we can be a powerful voice.
His book was actually Living Victoriously.
That's
Babylon,
it.
So
thank
it's
you.
To help us.
So what the Jews learnt in Babylon, you know, we can learn in our Babylon, as it were. So other just little headlines. Discipline prayer. Nothing else will do that. Praying for our local MPs, councillors, visiting our MPs, etc. And then there was another thought about persecution is coming. And we have to face those things. And then David Hathaway spoke about a Germanic spirit. They wouldn't allow anybody to record this, by the way.
Yeah.
You can see why. Some of it was, you know, quite difficult to hear or publish it in any way. Mm. But he was speaking about, you know, the terror that will come unless we repent. Mm. And at the end of World War II, well, whilst we were rejoicing that the Germans were being defeated, all of Europe that had been occupied was depressed. Mm. It was a difficult time, depression. And he mentioned that the opposite number of David Davis in the German delegation, I suppose, his opposite numbered, is really filled with hate against us and the Brexit. And then he said this is a spiritual issue, because when Kaiser took Babylon into Germany, if I'm quoting this correctly, you'll correct me if I'm not, which was the original seat of Satan, which is in Berlin, we all know this, and then the altar was copied and Hitler made a copy and put it in Nuremberg. And then it was spoken about, you know, what is the blasphemous spirit against the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable spirit. And so we felt that we needed to understand from a remnant point of view the darkness that's coming through the German camp voice in the Brexit agreements.
And turn the tables.
Thank you. Yeah. So the main things were restoration of biblical standards in public life. Do you want to talk a bit more about Ireland?
Well, we were asked to go with a lovely lady called Donna Taggart, and we've had a relationship with Belfast for quite a few years, quite a few times we've gone, and we've danced in the grounds and inside Stormont. But this time, the reason why we were meant to go was the birth, the opening of Ireland becoming involved in, I kept calling it HSBC, but it's not. It's HSBN, which is Holy Spirit Broadcasting Network. And Donna has been speaking at this, you know, you can go online to their website and you can hear Donna speak. But this was birthed that day. But the people from America that were in charge were supposed to come over, but he was actually ill. And but God had another plan.
He always has another plan.
He had another plan. And I actually want to show you something that God had been speaking to me about sort of the 2 weeks before. And in my prayer time, using my sketches, because I pray and I paint at the same time, which is how God speaks to me, and I've got a little group going. He showed me about
the
Japanese.
Hold the picture up so they can see.
Yeah, I haven't got to it yet. The Japanese. I'll show you this one first. The Japanese, when a pot breaks, they fill it with gold, and they say that it's got a history, and filling it with gold makes it even more beautiful. And as I was praying, I was sort of praying about Israel, but this just happened. You know, when I'm doing it, I don't have an idea in my head. It just starts with one thing and then I go on to the next. And it became the land being filled, the cracks being filled with this gold from God. And I was thinking about that scripture that says that the glory of God covering the earth like the seas cover the water. So it's like God's glory is filling these cracks. And what are the cracks? But a lot of what God was telling me was about broken promises, and when we've gone away from God, we've sort of gone in the totally opposite direction, and it's caused distress and brokenness. And then I had a dream, and this was just before we were going to Northern Ireland, and it was all these gouges in the land were in the shape of the Union Jack. And then we came, like the dance group came, and we put on this silk that had gold, like of the Union Jack, just the etching of the Union Jack. And we put it onto these cracks, you know, the gouges. And underneath, of course, God was bringing healing to the land. But this wasn't just a land thing. So we knew we were going to go, and we took our gold flags. I didn't have time to make this. We took our gold flags, and we knew we were meant to worship and to just bring the glory of God. And we've done this before, and we've put oil in the land in Northern Ireland before now. But God had a plan to do it in every heart. You know, Ginny did a wonderful talk, and then we ended up with praying for every single person
We did.
In the centre of the Houses of Parliament, and some of us went into the room. I wasn't there.
Yeah, just to say very quickly, we're nearly at the end. Some years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a chance to go into the Assembly in the Houses of Parliament. We just got in, and through a brother who'd murdered somebody in the Mays prison and then got saved. Always a good way in. And so, but I got Martin McGuinness's seat. That was where I was sitting while they just give a little talk about it. And I really started to pray for Martin McGuinness. This was some years ago. And then, I think it was Dave, who was it who shared this? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed and shared about
David.
Ian Paisley putting his arm round Martin McGuinness. And that Martin McGuinness actually got saved. Now, that's what I'm just reporting. But I think one of our brothers was able to go into the Assembly again last weekend, just very quietly, and proclaim unity. Unity for the nations. Unity for Ireland. And Ireland keeps featuring largely on the Great Britain scene. So, finally, the sound of people repenting. That was so amazing. Declarations seem to just smash against religious establishments that had taken over where God left off. And the change was coming. And before we came, we had a sense that we need to really embrace change. And during our getaway time that our group had, one of our ladies just threw down a whole bunch of pennies, coppers, on the wooden floor in the middle of a quiet prayer. It was like, shocked everybody. She said, and God is saying, we've got to dance through change. Which we did, because we danced. Amen.
That's good.
So, amen. Our God is on the move.